Yes, indeed. Back here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take. Welcome back in Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. The location right now, Loge Level, Gapey Atrium, getting ready for the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 10 a.m. and then that noon kickoff between the Saints and Arizona Cardinals right here on WWL Saints Radio, 105.3 FM, 870 a.m., and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Gearing up this game one, we've been definitely looking forward to seeing some Saints action, you know, getting through the preseason. And thankfully, I felt like, at least, Jeff, it went by pretty quick. The three games, definitely a blessing, and looking forward to eventually getting down to two preseason matchups.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's always I feel like a kid on Christmas morning when the season starts, and I wait all off season. I'm like, it's gonna get here, and then it shows up, and it's like drinking through a fire hose, you know. But I'm excited. We got a sneak peek at the intro video. They were playing it when I was walking in, and it was nice. I think people are gonna enjoy it.
And we heard too, Manny Fresh warming up for. He's gonna be doing the halftime action here, so looking forward to seeing his set list.
Yeah, and let's not forget Teron Armstead out here, going to be leading the Who Dat
Saints chant. Legend of the game.
Saints legend of the game, and he talked to the media the other day, and he's so impressive as a person. Like, you hear him talking, it's like he could be a motivational speaker, he could be a coach, he could be whatever he wants to be.
Could be a rapper. Oh, he is.
He is a rapper, right? T-Stead, baby. I miss. They should still play his songs in the locker room. I'm just saying. But he got a chance to sit down and talk with Kelvin Banks, and I was talking to Kelvin Banks in the locker room, and I was like, hey, he's got a chance to sit down with Teron. He was like, oh man, yeah. And it's not a terrible person to be compared to, but be prepared. Like, you're gonna be compared to Teron Armstead. Like, it's inevitable. You don't have a choice. So you better play well. Because that's a tough comparison. That's a tough guy to live up to.
I heard him say, too, what was it? Sean Payton's already offered him a job anytime he wants?
Yeah, that's what Teron said, because he was asked, hey, you might get into coaching, and he said, no, the hours.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I don't blame him.
I'm
like my life.
Flattered, Sean, but H to the ELL, no. I cannot work with you. Because Sean's not an easy guy to work with. Like, he's a great coach.
But very demanding.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's – and there's something to be said for that. Like, a pleasant work environment is not always conducive to effective NFL coaching.
Yeah, I want to stay friends. Yeah.
Well, right. Like, you don't want to be friends with your boss. You want your boss to be your boss. I mean, I guess maybe you do want to be friends with your boss, but not if you want the work to get done. Teron said he met with a team doctor after week one last year. They're like, you got to get that knee replaced. And he was just like, oh. And then he played 15 more games.
Right.
Like, I'll get it replaced when I get it replaced. But I missed the days when the Saints had Teron at left tackle, Ryan Ramczyk at right tackle, and you could just set it and forget it. Like, you knew that those two guys were going to get the job done, and it made everything so much easier. And
well,
so
hopefully we got that new version.
Exactly.
Now.
And that's what you're hoping for Kelvin and Tally. You can just have one name for those guys, right? Like Teron and Ryan, Teron and Ramczyk, you have Kelvin and Tally. Like, let's do that.
Looking at one of the big differences for this team going into the year, Phil Galliano, the special teams coordinator. We know Darren Rizzi, now also in Denver. He had that position here as well as the interim head coaching job. But Galliano comes in. I guess you could say it's a fresh face, but he's been around the block in this organization as well.
I mean, it's one of the only non-fresh faces. Steve is one of the few guys, like he and Keith Williams. You have Dan Rochard, or not Dan Rochard, Brendan Nugent,
yeah,
the other offensive line coach, coming back.
Running backs coach is back.
Joel Thomas is back after a year with the Giants. But, yeah, Phil Galliano, like, there's a reason they kept him around. It's because they thought he did a great job. You know, he filled in as a special teams coordinator when Darren Rizzi was elevated to the interim head coach role, and I think special teams is an area of that you just need it to be consistent. Like, you don't need it to be elite.
Yeah,
you would like it to be elite, but you do need it to be a situation where you're not losing games because of special teams. Like, you're not giving away an advantage because you can't cover, because you can't make kicks, because you can't return kicks and make it a positive outcome. So I think that's where they want.
And it's been an area that was strong under Rizzi, and we're hoping can continue with a guy like Galliano.
Exactly. So you're looking at the consistency, and I'm curious how they handle the return game. You know, Phil was asked about that, and I think we have that clip queued up.
Yeah, talking about the importance of different types of kickoffs.
Yeah, I think it has to be, right? I think if all these kickoff returns are going to be returned because you're not just going to put it into the end zone, then you have to be able to have different kicks so that the kick return team doesn't know where the ball is going every time, right? So you have to be able to change it up, and the execution's key. Like if we want to say we're going to kick one to the deep right and all of a sudden now the ball is maybe in the middle or goes off to the left, your coverage changes, right? So that can put our coverage players in a little bit of a disadvantage, and so it's important that those guys are as accurate as they can be.
One thing for me, Jeff, in the early goings of games is in this regular season, seeing, you know, a touchback coming out to the 35-yard line,
it's a big difference.
Wild.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's data that shows, like, hey, if you start a drive at the 35 or further up, it's like you're talking about a 50-50 chance to score on that drive.
Yeah.
You only need two first downs, and you're in field goal range with how far these kickers can make it from. So, no, I mean, like, the Saints, and I think there's going to be some teams in the league that just say, hey, we don't trust our kicker. We're just going to kick it into the end zone. We don't trust our coverage. But that's a disadvantage. If you're giving away the 35-yard line when the 20 is right there, right? Like, force them to execute a return. Because it's amazing to me how many times the return gets to exactly the 35-yard line. But no, and what the kind of context of that question is, you know, I think what's going to end up being a thing, like, we're going to talk about kickers, and every kicker, it seems like now, every starting kicker can make it from 55 and out pretty consistently. Some guys can make it from 65 and out consistently. But I think one of the differentiating factors in, like, okay, what makes an elite kicker versus what makes, like, a good field goal guy is, hey, can you make all these different kicks on the kickoff? Like, it matters now. Because, you know, if you're able to consistently force them to field a kick and that they cannot get back past the 20-yard line or that they have to handle and maybe mess up, like, that's an advantage. And you have to be able to make a lot of different kicks, but also do it consistently. Like, when they say, hey, we want to kick it here, and you kick it somewhere else, like, that puts the coverage in a bad situation. And so watch how Blake kicks off. And I was really impressed with him in the final preseason game because he had, like, three kicks in a row that he was able to just bounce and get that, like, high second bounce, and the returner had to just stand there and wait on it, which must have felt like an eternity, because the second that ball bounces, the coverage can move.
Right.
So if that's, to me, that's the best kick you can make, is a kick that kind of checks up and just floats in the air, and he was able to do it, like, two or three times in a row, and, you know, that's going to be the difference.
There is a skill to that.
No, there absolutely is. I see people say, why don't they just teach a safety to kick it off? It's not that far. Because you need them to be able to do it consistently, exactly the way you ask them to do it. And Blake's able to do that. So I think that's one of the kind of nuances of the kicker position that's going to be developed over the next few years with these new rules.
One of the stalwarts of these special teams unit, JT Gray, not a part of the team anymore, yeah, which feels a little weird. I remember seeing the tweet from Alvin Kamara going, just WTF, when we found out the Saints were moving on from Gray, who is now part of the Baltimore Ravens organization.
Yeah, yeah, and I think we have a bite from Galliano on that as well. And to me, that's like, it's more of a statement on, hey, we have some young players we want to play than anything
right
else, and Phil kind of talked about that.
Here's Galliano talking about JT Gray.
I do. I think that, you know, I think what you said, the key word is we have some young guys, right? And so the best experience that they can get is going out there and playing. But from what they've shown in practice in the preseason and college film, well, you know, like, I'm excited about a group of young players that I think we can be really, really good. And, you know, you've seen flashes of it in the preseason. And they're part of the reason why they were drafted. They're part of the reason why they made the 53 with that big picture plan in mind. I think we do have a chance to, you know, whether it's Jonas or Stutzman or some of those younger players that we drafted. I think the other thing that's helped us is we brought in a couple quality veterans between Terrell Burgess and Chris Rumpf and Jack Stoll, who have played special teams in this league, and they bring a calming presence to some of these young guys. So it's a good mix, and, you know, I'm really excited to get a chance to go out there and let them play.
You know, just mentioning, you know, some of the young guys, it is going to be curious to see who ends up, you know, stepping up in that gunner role that JT Gray was so great at.
Yeah, and I think, like, when the JT Gray spot on the roster became kind of superfluous, that's not a good word for it, but expendable when you decided to keep an Isaiah Stallbird and some of these younger players and a Rajon Wright. Like, if you're going to keep them on the roster, they got to play. right? Like, you can't just have young guys on the roster and say, yeah, but we have veterans who are going to – like, you need to develop young players in those roles. And I think Stallbird – we're going to hear from Stallbird later in the show. And, you know, I think his emergence as a core special teamer is a big reason why you're able to say, hey, you know, we want to play these young guys.
Plus, Gray wasn't necessarily healthy either.
He was healthy. The injury – I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe he wasn't able to contribute as much as you would have normally seen if he did deal with a hamstring injury. But right. That's not the reason he was cut.
So, yeah, just it seemed curious to me that you would get rid of a guy that was an all-pro for you and the leader, a team captain as well.
Well, again, it's about understanding where this team is and the fact that they need to develop young players. Like, you've lost the luxury of being able to say, hey, we're going to spend a little bit more at these positions to make sure we have a veteran at all these key spots. When you are in the position the Saints are in, you have to develop those young guys so that when you have that core group where you feel like you can win with,
yeah,
you can roll with those guys. And yeah, maybe you take your lumps in the interim as you figure it out, but you just got to – like, you want to see what you have from those young players, and the only way to do that is to play them.
Another one we're curious to see how he gets used, Rashid Shaheed in the return game. Phil Galliano also talked about that.
Yeah, I think that it's just ongoing conversations that you have amongst the staff, right? And I think it's – we all want to get our best players to have the ball in their hands because they have a chance to score, and ultimately you're going to win the games when you score the most points. So I think strategically, whether it's offense or special teams, is, you know, how can we get the ball in Sheed's hands because he's one of our better playmakers. So fortunately for us, I think we've done a very good job from a kick return standpoint. If we have some other guys that I think they can score when they touch the ball as well. So we're able to kind of be selective, and, you know, maybe she's not on every kick return. Maybe it's in certain situations that we may want to use them. And I kind of look at that like you're going to look at the offense and defensive players as well. In certain situations, you're going to have certain people on the field of what you're trying to accomplish. And so it's just open communication, you know, amongst the staff and having a plan to go with it.
How much is injury risk way into that?
Yeah, look, I think that's a good question. I don't know. I'm not one that really buys into too much of the injury fear, right? You either have a helmet and you're playing on game day, or you're not, you know? And so, and our players are competitors too. So if a player says that, I know I can do this and I can help our team win, and I say to him, no, you're not going to do that because I'm scared you're going to get hurt, that doesn't send the right message from a coaching standpoint, and the player doesn't want to hear that either. We go and there's an injury risk and it's an unfortunate, and we try to do our best to eliminate injuries, but players want to go play and compete.
Phil Galliano talking about the usage of Rashid Shaheed there, and while I understand that, there is a certain aspect to it where you don't want to, I guess, enhance the chances of him getting hurt.
Yeah, I think it's a situation in kickoffs. I think you're going to look at somebody else. I think you're going to see Velus Jones and, you know, maybe Kendre Miller back there. I like the idea of running backs in the kick return part of the game, especially because you want to get Velus Jones on the field. I think punt return – in plus punt return situations, I think Rashid is the guy you want out there. In situations where you just want to field the kick and get the ball to your offense, I think you probably throw an Ugo Amadi out there. But yeah, I just you're not going to take him out of that part of the game entirely, because if they're punting off their own end line, I want Rashid out there because he's going to get an opportunity to make a return and make it count. Late in the game, if I'm desperate and I need a big return on a kickoff, I'll probably throw him back out there and see if he can get the job done. But I don't want that to be 100% of the time, because you have players. And I think this team has a luxury of having several plus return guys that, you know, I want Rashid to be involved. I want him to have the ball in his hands when he has an opportunity to make a play. And to give him those opportunities, but I just don't want to make him my full-time returner if I don't have to.
We're taking a break here on our Caesar Sportsbook First Take. When we get back, we'll hear a one-on-one interview Jeff had with one of those special teamers in Isaiah Stallbird. So stay tuned right here on WWL Saints Radio. Be back after the break. We'll go back into WWL and the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Want to get into our one-on-one interview Jeff had with Isaiah Stallbird, Saints linebacker and special teamer, as we get ready for week one against the Arizona Cardinals. Let's hear what Jeff and Stallbird had to say.
Jeff Nowak here with Isaiah Stallbird. Now, first of all, congrats on making the 53. And I know you got up to the roster last year. You played in some games, but how cool was that
to just, you know, make the 53 out of camp? It's obviously a ton of work, a long kind of slog. Just what was that moment like for you?
And it was just cool to see, like, the whole process, like, coming in, learning the defense. Like, a little rough at first, getting everything down, but then to see my growth and have it, you know, come to life in preseason games and practice and be able to gain the coach's trust to earn more opportunities and then, like you're saying, end up on the 53, man. It's a blessing, so it was pretty cool.
You know, when I watch you play, one of the things that stands out to me is the speed. Yeah, you just seem like you're moving at an extra gear out there. I know you played safety before converting to linebacker in college. Is that a part of your game that you kind of emphasize, is just playing fast out there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like I was saying, too, everything is getting more clear, so, you know, you can play more free. You don't have to, in terms, think as much. And that's a credit to Coach Staley, Coach Pete, our linebackers coach, so, you know, everything they're coaching us, getting the system down. And you can go, I mean, not just me, but I feel like you can see it with a bunch of other guys on the defense. Like, I feel like we're just playing a lot faster because we have those repetitions, that belief. So, yeah. But, yeah, I definitely like to say, like, to have it as an emphasis. I mean, being able to put on weight, like, keep my speed and showcase that, so.
Yeah, obviously, you know, JT getting let go is a tough thing for the special teams group. But do you kind of look at that as kind of an endorsement of the group in the room, that the kind of a vote of confidence in the guys to go out there and kind of take over those kind of leadership roles?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sucked. Like, I mean, because JT is, like, obviously not only great for the team, but a great teammate, great for the locker room. But, I mean, that's above my pay grade. But, yeah, like you're saying, I think it's also a test to, like, them believing in the group we have for the core four and everything like that. So, I mean, honestly, like, we're all young. So, I mean, it's going to be, like, we have potential to be really one of the top groups, I think, special teams-wise in the league. But we just got to capitalize on our opportunities. And there's going to be learning experiences. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like as an overall, yeah, there could be a big room of improvement and some guys that make some jumps, like you're saying, to take over those leadership roles. And, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. I mean, I feel like we've already played with a great juice, so we have preseason, and then now we get to the season, we're just going to keep it rolling. So,
yeah, you, Danny, and Jalen, some young guys out there. Is that kind of a fun competition to have between y'all?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, get out of here. No, it's definitely fun because, like, we – I feel like we're pretty tight as a group, too, so we like to push each other. And, like, it doesn't matter who's making the plays. Like, we're all happy for each other. So, no, I love my LB room, my coaches, so I can't complain. I just hate when a Christian boy don't listen to the call and go the wrong way.
Agreed. But all right, one more. You know, you're going to go out there. Well, what's something that fans should know about you as a person? They're going to watch you as a player. Like, give me some inside baseball here.
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty simple. I mean, I feel like when we ain't in football, have an off day, y'all can catch me fishing down in Jean Lafitte. When the harbor's out there, y'all can catch me by this net. I'll be fishing out there. So, y'all see you. Person fishing by themselves when we're not playing football, it's probably me. Other than that, like, I just like to go out to all the local restaurants. I'm a big foodie, so I'm always, like, eating food somewhere. But other than that, like, I'd just be hanging out at the house.
What do you fish for?
Anything.
Anything?
Yeah, anything. It's just fun, relaxing. Like, yeah. I like being outside, so. So hopefully, maybe in the near future, I can get a little John boat so I can go out in the bayou a little bit and just be out there instead of off the bank or something. So,
gotcha. I bet Landon would join you. Landon seems guy.
I bet Lando's got some more spots, but it's cool, man. Like, being out doing that, I met so many, like, local people that have told me, hey, you should go check out this spot. And, like, I'll go out there, like, you know, true to the word, like, the fishing's good, or, like, go check out this restaurant, too. So that's why I've had, I think, good experiences with people in New Orleans. Like, I always kind of had an idea because one of my best friends, they moved after the hurricane, around the time of the hurricane. And they always told me about the culture here, big fans of Saints and LSU. So I kind of had an idea coming in. But it's different once you get here. So, and I love it. Like, especially the hospitality. It reminds me of the Midwest in the way, like, where I'm from. Like, people looking out for each other and stuff like that. So, and just very nice. So, I can't complain.
Gotcha. I appreciate it, man. Good luck out there.
Hey, appreciate you. Thank you.
That was Jeff Nowak with Saints linebacker and special team Isaiah Stallbird. And, boy, he talked about football, food, and fish, and he fits in perfectly here.
He's a Bayou boy. He fits right in. I will say, just for context, he wasn't just throwing strays at Christian Boyd. Christian was standing there
messing
over my shoulder, giving him a hard time. So, in case you're wondering, you're like, yeah, Christian's a jokester in there. But no, I think Stallbert, you know, that was what I told him after our interview. Like, I always think it's pretty cool when, you know, because there's a ton of UDFAs every year. Like, guys show up. You don't know if they're going to stick around. We spend a lot of time talking about them in training camp, and then they're gone, never to be heard from again. So it's always cool when a guy, he's a UDFA, he comes back year two, you know, and he just kind of wins a role in camp, right? And suddenly he's a member of this roster. Like, that's JT Gray. Like, why are we talking about JT Gray? He's like, I can't believe they cut JT Gray. Well, he showed up in 2018, maybe it was 2019, as a UDFA out of Mississippi State. You know, the Saints have always had a kind of a culture of special teams aces, like a Justin Hardy or Chris Banjo. Well, that's how you become one. You show up, you play hard, you play well, and then you win a role and you own it. And so I think he's a guy that over the next few years we're going to be talking about as, oh, he's the new special teams ace that you rely on.
That's one thing when seeing Stallbert in action on the field, I feel like I need to hear Metallica in the background. Seek and destroy.
Yeah, he's big. Like he's a. So he came up as a safety at South Dakota State, and then he transferred, or he didn't transfer, but he converted to linebacker in his final year in college. So he's a linebacker, but he's got a safety pedigree, right? So he's fast. He can move. He can cover. And I think that's that kind of combination is really helpful in this new era of special teams where, yes, you need a guy who can play in punt coverage, but you also need someone you can throw on the field and have him run and make a tackle on kickoffs. And I think he can do both of those things. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, I think he's a little better suited for what the Saints need out of that special teams role than maybe a JT Gray, who was really kind of a punt guy.
Yeah. Looking at our Caesar Sportsbook First Take rolling on. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll dip into some audio from our professor, Deuce McAllister, giving us a little lesson on the black and gold. Stay tuned right after this. We'll be back with more First Take after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into WWL and the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints, hearing some Manny Fresh coming back from the break. Thank you, Coleman. He will be performing halftime live here in the Caesar Superdome. Looking forward to that and curious to see what his set list is going to be like. Heard a little bit of the action going on as we were, you know, doing our pregame show of him warming up here.
I have no expectations. I'm just going to let it happen to me.
Enjoy the flow.
Yes. Yes.
Getting back into talking about today's game against the Arizona Cardinals. Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister was on Sports Talk early in the week, gave some insights about this black and gold bunch as they get ready for week one. Let's hear from Deuce talking about what he'd like to see from this Saints offense.
I think it'll be a lot of Alvin running and catching, but I do feel like that they have some other weapons. I mean, the question is, can you get Alvin in space, and can you get those other weapons in space? And so the opportunities will be there, but, you know, the one thing that you see when you go back and look at the film from this preseason, this team can be explosive. My question for this team is, can you go 10-plus plays and be able to punch it into the end zone? Because you've shown that you can pick up yardage, but you've also shown that you will have a mistake, whether it's a turnover, whether it's a penalty, whether it's instead of being second and short, I have a penalty that negates that first down, and it puts me back at second and 20 or second and 15, and now I can't overcome that. And I end up having to either punt or kick a long field goal. For this team to get to where it wants to go, they've got to hit on explosive plays. And all of them don't have to be. I mean, hey, it's great to have plus 40 type plays. But if they can hit on, and I haven't put a number out there as far as runs and passes to have explosive plays, but there has to be a number. There has to be a number of explosive plays of plus 15 or plus 20. There has to be a number of explosive runs of plus 10, plus 20 for this team to be successful, because very few games will you be able to win by kicking 4 to 5 field goals and no touchdowns.
Deuce McAllister talking about this Saints offense, and that was something that was most concerning that we saw from training camp practices and even in the preseason, just the drives, being able to get the yardage but then kind of stalling when you got closer to the red zone.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Like, I get what Deuce is saying, and I don't disagree with him, you know, kind of in principle, but I also think that the Saints shouldn't turn their nose up at field goals, right? Like, I think, yes, you do need to cash in on some of these drives. Like, I think you probably need – you need at least one touchdown drive, probably two, to give yourself a chance. But 4 field goals and a touchdown drive, I can deal with that. three field goals and two touchdown drives, I can deal with that. You need to put points on the board, right? And you have Blake Griffey. He's a weapon for you. If you can get the ball to the 40, you can chalk up 3 points.
You just like field goals because you got Griffey in fantasy.
That does help. That does help. But, no, I mean, it's a situation that I can't be getting overly aggressive because I'm feeling this pressure. Like, I got to finish this drive off. I got to finish this drive off. 3 points is better than no points. And building confidence and continuing to maintain the ball. Like, if the options are I'm going to force this ball into tight coverage versus I'm going to kind of live and play another down, and if we get stopped short of the first, you know, it is what it is. Like, I need to keep positive things happening, right? So, you know, I don't want to be hunting chunk plays. I don't want to be, you know, putting too much pressure on the quarterback. It's like, play within yourself.
But I think he's saying you need to have those chunk plays.
Yeah, you're not going to win the game if you don't get any touchdowns. Like, you can't only kick field goals, but you also can't play in such a way that it's so haphazard that you're sacrificing field goals because you desperately want a touchdown. Now, what I'm interested in is how aggressive is Kellen Moore going to be on fourth and short?
Yeah.
And the reason I wonder that is because, you know, we saw, I can't remember which game it was. I think it might have been the Jaguars. Might have been the Titans. Who else did we play? I can't remember. But it was the Jaguars. And, you know, there was a fourth down early in the game, and it was like fourth and one on the Saints 35, and they went for it. And I remember Deuce at the time being like, hey, this is strange because they've been playing a lot of this game like they're going to play a real game, and it's interesting they made this decision. And I asked Kellen after the game, like, hey, is this a preseason thing? Or, you know, were you just being aggressive because you want to be aggressive? And he said, yeah, we're going to be aggressive. So, like, how aggressive are the Saints going to be on fourth down? I think they're going to be aggressive. I don't think you're going to see the Saints punting on a lot of fourth and ones. And I don't know how much that mentality is driven by, hey, we were with the Eagles and we got fourth and one. Like, you could.
It was a gimme.
You didn't even need to think about it. Like, you got fourth and one, you're going every time because you're getting it every time. I don't know. How good is this Saints team going to be in that part of the game? They didn't get that fourth down. And Spencer Rattler isn't a guy that I would say one of his strengths is being big and strong and be able to push the pile in that situation. Like, one of the reasons
he's not built like Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, right. I don't know if he squats 500 pounds. Anyway, like, that's a question I have because those are added value plays when you pick them up. But they're going to be second-guessed to oblivion when you don't. So we'll see how Kellen Moore is as a head coach.
Good news, too, for this black and gold bunch. Alante Taylor was nursing a groin injury for a lot of training camp. Didn't get to see him in preseason action, but was not on the injury report. Doesn't have a designation for him going into this game. But how much usage will he get? Deuce McAllister talked about what he expects to see out of Alante in this matchup.
Not throwing him out there for 95, even 100% of the plays. If I use him, it's going to be probably 40 to 50% of the plays. It's just, you know, we've seen it too many times where you throw a guy out there immediately, missed all the camp, missed 3 or 4 weeks, and now you expect him to play up to par. It just doesn't happen like that. I'm going to use him. He's a big part of what they want to do. But I'm probably going to give him 50% of the work and let him build up into, you know, where he needs to be, not only from a mental aspect, but just from reps. You know, I understand. I know you're a veteran and you're a really, really good player for us. But at the end of the day, I'm not throwing him out there 100% of the plays.
Having Alante available, definitely huge for this defense. We know he's taking over that star role in Brandon Staley's scheme.
Yeah, it's an important role. And I think that's, you know, as frustrating as it is to not have Chase Young, having Alante out there is a big difference for this team. And hopefully he's been able to kind of stay engaged. We talked to him in the locker room, and it sounds like he has. It was very frustrating for him to sit out that long, you know. But he makes things go on this defense, whether it's rushing the passer, whether it's covering tight ends. Like, he's a guy that I trust as a tackler. Like, that's one of the things about this Saints defense that I feel a little more confident in is going to be their ability to go up and make tackles in space. He's a big part of it. Justin Reed's a big part of it. Julian Blackman's a big part of it. Like, I think they're going to be better in that part of the game than they were. Because last year it just seemed too often that, you know, a 6-yard run turned into a 12-yard run because you didn't make a tackle at the point of attack. And so Alante's a big part of that. And covering Trey McBride's going to – it's going to be a big question, and I think you're going to put a lot of that burden on Alante. He's going to be asked to do a lot of different things. He's going to be asked to communicate with all three levels of the defense, and I know Brandon Staley loves him.
Looking at this Arizona Cardinals offense, led by their quarterback and Kyler Murray, who's coming into this game, we found out, with a sickness. We'll be seeing if that affects him any going into the matchup against.
But he's not down with the sickness.
He's not down with the sickness.
He's up with the sickness.
Okay. He is a guy that you have to worry about his scrambling ability. But when he is on the move, he's also someone that will throw on the run. And Deuce McAllister talked about that.
Yeah, and I think he, when I go back and look at it, I think going to the left is his favorite. So I want to flush him right. I want to flush him right, or I want to keep him in the middle of the field. Now, if he's in the middle of the field, I mean, as far as in the pocket, that's fine. Normally, if it's not deep middle, he's not looking in that area. He's going to be looking for the check now, or he's looking for the deep out. Now, here's the thing. He's got the arm to be able to do it. But I think that you will have more opportunities if he is in the pocket to be able to take away some of the things that he likes to do. Because if he's in the pocket, he's not breaking down and they turn it into a scramble drill where now he's got you on skates because he can run it and he can still keep his eyes down the field. And just with the flick of a wrist, he can hit you.
Yeah, the problem with the Arizona quarterback, we know that he's an elite scrambler, a very small target too, trying to track him down, has the speed, but he's not someone that's just going to take off and run. He will scramble to get open, or look for that next read to get open.
Yeah, he'll scramble, and again, like we were talking about before, like he'll move to create throwing lanes. Like he's not always moving looking to get out and run. He's moving so that he can find the receivers and track them downfield. So no, I mean, you know, one thing Brandon Staley said was like, he's going to get you. He's like in basketball where it's like, you can have a perfect shot wins, right? Like, I can play great defense. If you make the shot, it's still a made shot, right? And there's going to be instances where you do everything you can and he still beats you. You can't kind of unravel in those instances. You got to stay composed. And that's a big question for me. Like, how does this coaching staff, like, can they keep this group in that phase of, like, things aren't going well? They're still playing. They're not letting go of the rope. Right? And those are those moments where you play great, he still beats you, and you have to come back and continue to execute. But, you know, he's going to get his. Like, Kyler's going to find a way to impact you. You just can't let that be the story of the game.
When we talk to Deuce, too, always like to get his perspectives on running backs. Kendra Miller going into a big season, we know, with this black and gold bunch. Health has been an issue for him. Want to see what Kendrick can do this year now, a new regime, new slate for him. We were asked, Deuce, what's his advice for Kendra Miller?
My advice, keep your head down and work. Block out the noise, keep your head down and work. You kind of know what it's like now and what I have to do to get my body ready. Even though I may not feel like that I need to go to the sauna, even though I feel like I may not need to go to the chiropractor, those are things that I need to do. Because the most important part for Kendra is being available on Sunday. So don't take it for granted, because at this point, you know that, hey, I'm out to prove week in and week out that I can be available, because playing the game, I know I can do. It's just, can I make it for 17 games? And so keep your head down and work. You know, I'm soaking in everything that they teach me. You know, it's a new system for him, so he's having to learn nuances and do different things. So I want to go and play, but I just want to work, and I think that's the most important thing for him.
It was good to see Kendra Miller being able to last these, you know, preseason going into the game. Obviously, last year was pretty frustrating. What was it, the first practice of camp out west, and all of a sudden he's dealing with that hamstring issue that seemed to be bothersome the entire season.
It was the first drill of camp. It was the first set of individual drills that he went through, and then yank, he's done for the entirety of camp. So, no, I mean, like, he's excited. I think this team is excited for him. And he's going to get opportunities, and, you know, we'll see how he delivers on them. But, you know, like, they drafted him in the third round because they really liked what he had to offer. You know, like, and I think people are frustrated and say, it's a missed pick. It's only a missed pick if he doesn't get out there and deliver, and I think this is his opportunity to do that. Year three is always important.
You know, that term we always talked about, seeing the flashes, you have seen those from him. It's just the fact that we haven't seen it enough.
No, exactly, and it's not even that we haven't seen it enough. It's that he hasn't been out there to do it, right? Like, it's not like he's been out there for a lot of games and, like, he just shows up with these big moments and disappears. Like, he literally is not there. To get those done. So hopefully we can get, you know, it's like 17 games. Like, I don't need 17 games. I need like 15 games. Give me 15. Can you give me 15? Let's do 15.
Just little baby steps in the increments and increasing that workload.
Let's do that.
We're going to take a break right now on First Take, the Caesar Sportsbook First Take. We'll be back as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up at 10 a.m. The Cajun Cannon in the house. You can stop by, say hey, as we are at Gate B, Loge level, hanging out, getting ready for kickoff in the Superdome, which is a noon start. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas on the call. We'll return with even more First Take, though, right after this on WWL. Back here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take as we close things out, getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off. Jeff, you'll be making your way down to the sideline, getting all your gear and ready for this action. Looking forward to the scene in the Dome today, just because it is week one. It's a whole lot different than preseason play. All the folks wearing gold. We got gold even in the end zone.
Yeah. You got the gold jerseys. You got the gold end zones. First time the Saints played in a field with gold end zone since the Super Bowl. Maybe they can get some of those vibes back. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a fun energy in this building today.
Definitely looking forward to it. The start of the Kellen Moore era. Thanks for tuning into the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, folks. Coming up next, Cajun Cannon, Bobby Aber with the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. We'll be back with even more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.